It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. We know the New Testament begins with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the fifth book of the New Testament is the book of Acts. Now, the four Gospels tell us about the life of Christ until the day when he was taken up into heaven. Well, the book of Acts tells us about the life of the early church, when the risen Christ was doing great and mighty things in and through men such as Peter and Paul. Well, the Acts of the Apostles should really be called the Acts of Jesus Christ. And that's because we read the book of Acts. When we do that, we see the Lord Jesus Christ working and acting in and through his chosen apostles, men such as Peter, John, and Paul. Well, let me pause just a moment and ask you if at all possible for you to get your Bible, and you might want to take a few notes and refer back to some of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at. Today, we're going to start looking at the subject and the study of the book of Acts. And let me remind you that I do use the King James Bible. I believe it is the Word of God. It comes from the Masoretic text and also the Textus Receptus. And these are the approved ways, and these are the approved texts that the King James Bible is taken from. So if at all possible, get you a King James Bible if you don't already have one. And I would remind you that each time that you hear me or any other preacher or pastor or whoever who says they are looking at the Word of God and going through the Word of God, open your Bible and make sure they're doing that. Watch and let God lead you as you study the Word of God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is still working and acting today. Not only did he work and act as we see in the early church in the book of Acts, well, he's still working today to do his work. And at the same time, we need to realize that he's willing to use anyone who's willing to serve him, those people who have trusted him as Savior. He uses willing hands, mouths, tongues, feet, and minds because he works through people. He works through his church. Just as he worked through Peter, John, Stephen, and Paul, so he can work through you. The person who is listening right now, you, he can use you. And I would ask, are you allowing the living God to work in and through you? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21 says this, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And then we read again in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 that says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, these verses that I've read are speaking to you, speaking to me, because I've been born again. And if you have been born again, then God's speaking to you. He can act through you if you will allow him to do so. Well, first, I'd like for us to notice this in the book of Acts. There are two main characters, I believe, in the book of Acts. First, we see in chapters 1 through 12, we see Peter. And then in chapters 13 through 28, we see Paul. In the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter is the main actor or the main character that we read about. And in the remaining part of the book, Acts chapter 13 through chapter 28, the Apostle Paul is the main actor or character that you read about. Peter and Paul were not supermen, but they were people just like we are, and God used them in a wonderful way. Both Peter and Paul demonstrated the outworking of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the same God who used Peter and Paul and worked in and through their lives is the same God who is willing to use you and I today. Well, I believe that, you know, there's some controversy about what I'm about ready to say. Some people do not believe what I'm about ready to say, but what we're going to read about is the birthday of the church. Now, some people believe differently. Some people believe that the birthday of the church was when Christ was walking the earth. Well, if you believe that, that's fine. And at the same time, let me say that I believe that as we go through the book of Acts, we'll see that God sanctioned the local church. The church is born, I believe, as we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, when the Holy Spirit came, the church was born, I believe. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, I believe it's talking about that. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, the Holy Spirit came to live in a body of believers, and this body is called the church, according to Matthew 16, 18. And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Christ began building his church on the day of Pentecost, I believe, and he has been building his church ever since. Every time a person is saved, a new member is added to his church. Well, someday, as we look ahead, the building will be completed, and he will come and take us to heaven. Now, I'd like for us to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. It says there, starting in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Well, that's a promise of God. And there are other promises. God has wonderful promises throughout the Word of God. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, we read about the wonderful promise which God gave. God promised that there would come a day when he would send the Holy Spirit. And he is the Comforter. He's called that. The Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And then in John chapter 14 and verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father. Now this is Jesus speaking. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And in verse 26 of John chapter 14, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have commanded or I have said unto you. And then in John chapter 15 and verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send, this is Jesus speaking again, he says, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John chapter 16 and verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then in John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, the Lord Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come to live in them, into the people he was speaking of at that point. But you see, he's not only speaking to those people back then, he's speaking to us today. And just as the Spirit would also teach these people he was speaking to back then, and he would also comfort them, he would also guide them into all truth, he is here today to guide and teach us, those people who have trusted him as Lord and Savior, trusted Jesus Christ. You see, Christ would leave the disciples, and that's what he's talking about in the verses I've just read. He would leave, but the Holy Spirit would come to them. Christ would go up, in other words, go back to heaven, but the Holy Spirit would come down. Now, I see there's a waiting period that's taking place as we read the Word of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Well, the waiting period is not many days, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Many times we need to wait for God's promises to come to pass in our lives. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, the disciples were told to wait for the promise of the Father. They were to sit still and wait. And in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, they were told the same thing. And it says there the word tarry is used, and it also means to wait. See, before the Lord Jesus returned to heaven, he told the disciples that they would have to wait for a person. That person, the Holy Spirit. And that this waiting period would not be many days, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. We just read that. Well, notice that mighty power came. Mighty power comes from God, as we see this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit came. And in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, the disciples were told to wait. In other words, tarry. Now, I just mentioned that. They were to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. Well, the Holy Spirit is God, and He is Almighty. He possesses the mighty power of God. That's the Holy Spirit because He is God. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be no power to live for Jesus and to be His witnesses. And trying to do the work of God without the Holy Spirit is like trying to drive a car without gas or trying to run a battery-operated toy or game without the batteries. It's impossible. It just will not work. You must have the energy and power, or you will go nowhere and accomplish nothing. Jesus said this. He said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." John chapter 15 and verse 5. Without God's enabling power, we can do nothing. There used to be a cartoon program about Popeye the Sailor. You remember that? Maybe you're not old enough, but there was a cartoon, and the character was Popeye. Whenever he would eat spinach, he would become very strong and powerful, and he would do amazing things. Well, without the spinach, he was very weak. He got his power and strength from the spinach. Well, believers receive power only from God. Believers are very powerful with the Holy Spirit working in them. Without the Spirit's working, they can do nothing. And I wonder today, do you know Him as your Savior? You need to trust Jesus today. He's coming again. And I would pray that you would be waiting for Him to say, "Come up hither." And the only way you're going to be waiting for Him and hear Him say that is to know Him as your Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart today. Ask Him to save you. Jesus Christ is waiting for you. And if you are saved, you need to be living for Him today. Next time, we'll pick up here where we're leaving off in the book of Acts.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.